ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast. My name is Michael, the Hebrew Hammer Brown. Jeremy Brenner has the night off. If you are going to join us here on Facebook for the live show, thank you so much. We are here tonight recapping this evening's loss to the Portland Trail Blazers, 140-129. That is the fourth to last game for the Rockets this season. We've got a game Wednesday, Friday, and then the season finale on Sunday. Let's get right into the box score breakdown for tonight's game, starting with the Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard, who had a very quiet first half, came on strong as he usually does in the second half. He played 36 minutes. He had 34 points. That's his sixth straight game with 30-plus points. Jake, what's going on, my man? 34 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 11 of 20 from the field. CJ McCollum, who could not miss in the first quarter, ended up with 28 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. Norman Powell, who was their big in-season acquisition from the Toronto Raptors, had 28.6 rebounds, 4 assists. I'm really intrigued to see what's going to happen with Norman Powell this offseason, as he is an unrestricted free agent. I believe he is going to get major, major money this offseason from somebody. Do I think that that's the Portland Trail Blazers? No, I don't. I do think it is dependent on what happens with the Blazers in the playoffs this season. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Ex-Rocket legend Robert Covington, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Joseph Nurkic, 22 points, only 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Derek Jones, 11 points off the bench. Enes Kanter had 10 rebounds off the bench. Shane says, "Sup, Michael, been following the show this whole year. Y'all have helped me process this really difficult season." Shane, thank you so much. Appreciate the kind words. It's been a roller coaster of emotions for a lot of Rockets fans. So Jeremy, myself, and the rest of the team at the Dream Shake and the Dream Take are glad you're here with us. For the Rockets, KJ Martin, another solid game, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Only shot the ball 9 times, which was a little interesting to see there. Jayshon Tate had an off night shooting the ball, only 3 of 11 and 0 of 4 from 3. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. Kelly Olynyk had some foul trouble all night, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. DJ Augustine had 21 points after a really nice first half. Daniel House only played in 13 minutes at 6 points. Kyrie Thomas, who continues to impress, put in another 18 points on 6 of 15 from the field, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Armani Sniper Brooks of the University of Houston had 18 points on 6 threes tonight. Cameron Oliver had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Impressive night for him. DaQuan Jeffries, who I'm glad he's getting some run on an NBA team, but he does not look like an NBA ball player right now. And Anthony Lamb had 11 minutes and 3 rebounds. Ryan Santoro, always good to have you. Lots of exciting young shooters. I was watching Westbrook and the Wizards come up short versus the Hawks, but congratulations to Westbrook nonetheless. Watching John Collins play as well as he did makes me want him that much more. First of all, Russell Westbrook, with what he's doing right now in Washington, it's ridiculous. I mean, Russell Westbrook is a guy that me personally, like just me as a basketball fan, while I appreciate what Russell Westbrook does in NBA games, which, I mean, he has 182 triple-doubles passing Oscar Robertson in his NBA career. That's great. That's awesome. Like, he's a stat patter. Can Russell Westbrook be a number one guy on a team and win an NBA title? No, you can't. When the Rockets traded Westbrook, Westbrook never felt like a Rocket to me. Like, we spent all of those years watching Russell Westbrook from afar. And while what he did was impressive, it was never a wow, you know, like a Russell Westbrook-led team is going to lead you to team success. Just like Scott Brooks is the head coach of the Washington Wizards, will never lead the Wizards to an NBA championship, ever. So while the combination of Westbrook and Scott Brooks is cool, Scott Brooks, Rockets legend, it's awesome, and it's fun for the regular season, but when the big boys come to play the Washington Wizards, and Russell Westbrook's not going to be able to, you know, do what he's doing now in a playoff game, the Wizards will go out in the first round if they make it into, you know, if they make it through the play-in tournament. Russell Westbrook led team will never lead the Wizards to a championship. John Collins, looking at his stat line tonight, we'll look that up. Again, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about a guy like John Collins and how perfect John Collins would be on this team. He had 28 points and he had 8 rebounds, 10 of 14 from the field. I mean, John Collins is a stud, y'all. Like, John Collins, if you have not watched John Collins play, John Collins is one of my more favorite players to watch in the league. This year he's averaging 17.8 points, 7.5 rebounds, and a couple assists a game. I mean, the guy just has really good size, and he would be a really nice compliment alongside Christian Wood. I'll tell you what I saw tonight in this Rockets game, because right now the Rockets, as they have been for the past 3 or 4 months, they're in full on looking at talent on this team and how it translates to next season. The Rockets better figure out a guy that can play with the bigger bodies in the Western Conference. Okay? Joseph Nurkic did whatever he wanted to Kelly Olynyk tonight. And it's unfair to Kelly Olynyk because Kelly Olynyk is not a true body five. He has the size of a 2021 NBA five, but he is not a five. He is a power forward. And even if Christian Wood was playing tonight, they still wouldn't have had an answer for Joseph Nurkic on the defensive end. The more I think about this, the more I'm going to choose my words very carefully here. I would love to see Evan Mobley as a Houston Rocket, because I think Evan Mobley actually solves a problem like tonight. He would solve a problem against... Now, let me preface this statement by saying that there are very few guys in the league that you can throw at Jokic and DeAndre Ayton and Nurkic and who are some of the other centers in the league? Joel Embiid. At least Evan Mobley gives you a body frame that you can throw at those guys and feel relatively good about your chance at slowing them down on the defensive end. Of anybody watching the show right now or listening to the show and wants to tweet me at BSW_MB, night in, night out, next season, if I told you that your two big guys on the roster were Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood, how confident on a scale of 1 to 10 are you that the Rockets are going to be able to play stout inside the paint defense against teams in the league? On a scale of 1 to 10, for me, it's about a 4. Because Kelly Olynyk can't guard, he can't guard any of the major bigs. And again, in his defense, the way he plays the game, he's not built to do that. So that leaves you with Christian Wood, who showed this entire season that, A, he can't stay healthy on a continual basis. He also showed you that even when he was healthy, he wasn't all that interested in playing back-to-the-basket defense against guys like Jokic and Ayton and Kristaps Porzingis, like guys like that, ate him up night in and night out. Evan Mobley fills that need for this team. If the Rockets do not come out of this draft, let's say they do get the 3 first-round picks that they are projected to have, if they do not come out of this draft with at least one bona fide 6-foot, 11, 7-foot body that has a chance at playing legitimate NBA minutes, then the Rockets have a huge hole to fill on this roster going into next season. And I'm sure we have all the time in the world to talk about Rockets offseason when we get to that time. But that was something I looked at and noticed tonight was just the lack of an interior defense. And once again, I mean, the Rockets, the Rockets gave up 50 points in the first quarter. I mean, after the first quarter, the Portland Trailblazers were on pace to score 200 points. I mean, they just couldn't miss. I mean, they were like something like 12 of 16 from the three-point line in the first quarter. And when you look at the Rockets are a bona fide G League team that was playing tonight. I mean, House only played 13 minutes. Augustine and Olynyk are your two veteran guys. But outside of that, I mean, you're playing guys on a playoff team or on a really good team. You think KJ Martin's playing 39 minutes? No. You think Jayshon Tate would be playing 31 minutes? Maybe. Probably not. Kyrie Thomas wouldn't even be on the team. Armani Brooks wouldn't even be on the team. Cameron Oliver wouldn't be on the team. Daquan Jeffries wouldn't be on a good NBA team, and neither would Anthony Lamb. So with what the Rockets have put out on the court these past few games, you've got to give them credit. And I'm not rah-rah, you know, congrats on a loss. I mean, a loss is still a loss is still a loss. But you look at what the Rockets put out. The Rockets were only down 116-111 in the fourth quarter. And the Blazers were playing CJ McCollum. They were playing Joseph Nurkic. They were playing with Damian Lillard. Like, they were playing with their guys. The Blazers are going to the playoffs. And the Rockets, it was a 116-111 game. I am 100% convinced that if the Rockets were to have any sort of combination of Kevin Porter Jr., Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, a healthy Daniel House, David Nwaba, Sterling Brown, like, this is an entirely different game. So I do give credit to the Rockets coaching staff. I give credit to the Rockets players that are showing up and playing to the best of their ability to try and win these games. Because it's commendable. It really is. It would be so easy for the Rockets just to go out there and, you know, jack up, you know, 75 threes in a given game. But they're trying to work through their offense. Kelly Olynyk said at pregame that he loves Coach Silas. He loves what Coach Silas is bringing to the Rockets organization, is bringing to this roster. So it's something to, you know, to admire in Coach Silas. And look, the Rockets have 3 games left. They go to the Lakers on Wednesday. They're going to be playing on a back-to-back on Wednesday. They play tomorrow night. If LeBron James comes back tomorrow night, then there's a really good chance he won't play Wednesday against the Rockets. They play the Clippers on Friday at home, and they end the season at the Atlanta Hawks. More than anything, the Rockets have already locked up the worst record in the league. Even if they win the last 3 games, which they won't, they would be tied for the worst record in the league. There's not really a chance that they are going to lose that number one pick. I want to see the Rockets win a game. They're in the midst of a 6-plus game losing streak. I want to see them win a game. That's all I want. You know, I think their best chance is if LeBron doesn't play Wednesday, I get it. They have to go up against Anthony Davis. If Christian Wood plays on Wednesday, the rest of that Lakers team really doesn't scare me all that much. I mean, if Davis plays, he's probably going to go off for 35-plus. But if you can maintain the other guys, maybe the Rockets can pull out a win against the Lakers. I don't see them beating the Clippers on Friday. I really don't see them going on the road against the Hawks to play, beat the Hawks. But I do want to point out real quick, you look at the Rockets' last, and we'll get to all the comments piling up here on Facebook here in a few minutes. Dating back to the beginning of May, the Rockets have had to play the Warriors at home, the Knicks at home, the Sixers at home, at the Bucks, at the Jazz, at the Blazers. Then they go to the Lakers versus the Clippers at the Hawks. I don't care who you are. You could be, one of the Lakers championship teams from the 80s. That is not an easy schedule. Even if the Rockets were at full strength, health-wise, that's a hell of a tall order to ask of the Rockets to go, through that stretch and win very many games. Jake Mountford says, really impressed with how the Blazers dropped 50 in the quarter and the Rockets still played their game and made it competitive the whole game. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't put it any better myself, Jake. The Rockets, it's so funny because this season, as all of our loyal fans and listeners to the pod, know that Jeremy and I, we're going to start to do shows again together, I believe, on Sunday on a regular basis. And I feel like I've taken on mostly the mindset that Jeremy had with. He was so okay with the rebuild early in the season where I was so bullish. I was like, no, man, they, work it out, figure it out, go get wins. That this Rockets tankathon, that's what I'm going to call it, has just drained me. And has just drained my, what it feels like to win on a consistent basis. I mean, the Rockets haven't won. I want to go on record as saying, I don't believe the Rockets have won back-to-back games since their six-game winning streak earlier in the season. Anytime they've won between then and now, they've lost the next game. But yes, Jake, I totally agree with you on that point. Ryan says, I'll always choose Cunningham and Suggs over Mobley, but won't be upset at it. How's Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green? Let me focus on Jalen Green because I'm not too familiar with Kuminga. We'll be doing more of a draft breakdown as we get closer to the NBA draft. What I will tell you about Jalen Green is Jalen Green is easily the fourth best prospect in this draft. Like, if the Rockets get the third pick, they're going to come away with either Suggs, Mobley, or Cunningham. More than likely, probably Mobley, depending on who picks second. Jalen Green is, at worst, he's the fourth best prospect. At best, he would be the third prospect. I can tell you for 100% fact that he will not crack my top three. He's the number four prospect for me as it pertains to the Rockets, because I think the three guys in front of him are much better fits for what they need. Shane says, heard Evan Mobley's only 190 pounds. Isn't that a bit of a worry considering Wood is too light for most centers? Great point. He's right around 195. I think when he gets to the league, he will put on weight, especially muscle. So I'm not all that concerned about that. The biggest draw on Mobley is when you watch him play at USC, he plays like a bona fide seven-footer. Like, the guy is a mainstay in the lane. He can rebound. He can block shots. There's not a ton there offensively yet. I know he had good numbers at USC, but on a consistent basis in the NBA, let me put it this way. If he becomes a Rocket, I think next season he'll average somewhere between 7 to 10 points a game. He'll average somewhere between 9 and 11 rebounds, probably two block shots a game. And if you can get that in the first round, put him next to Christian Wood, take some of that pressure of being the defensive anchor off of Christian Wood, I think it would be a great pick. Let's see here. Ryan, I did see the tweet that you tagged me in on Twitter, so I appreciate that. Cade Cunningham, I'll send this out on the Dream Take page tomorrow. as it is almost midnight. Cade Cunningham said that, you know, coming to H-Town would be pretty cool. I agree. I think Cade Cunningham would be an awesome fit here for where the Rockets are going and what the Rockets need right now. I think Cade Cunningham would be an absolutely perfect fit on this team. There's really not much else I can say about him outside of, I love his game. And y'all make sure to continue to tune in as we get into the offseason and as we get a better idea of where the Rockets are going to be drafting. We'll talk more about those draft prospects. Jake, with a great question, out of the guys who played tonight, who do you think deserves a spot on the roster next season? Kyrie Thomas. I mean, Kyrie Thomas is, he plays the game exactly the way you want him to play the game. He's a traditional 3-and-D guy. He's 6'3", 210 pounds. I like his frame a lot, Jake. Like, he's got a good frame to him. Like, the difference between a guy like Kyrie Thomas and a guy like Armani Brooks is Armani Brooks is, let me look it up, make sure I give you the best info I can here. Okay, so it looks like, Armani Brooks is like 6'2", 6'3", but he doesn't have a great frame yet, but he's a sharp shooter. I mean, the guy has hit 47 three-pointers in his first, I think, somewhere between 8 and 10 games. Craig Ackerman had the stat tonight on the broadcast. In his first whatever number of games, I think it was 10 games, he's got the most three-pointers of any player in NBA history, passing Damian Lillard. Like, the guy is a freak shooter. You look at a guy like KJ Martin will be on the team next year. Jayshon Tate will be on the team next year. So I think you're talking about the younger guys, looking at Daquan Jeffries, Cameron Oliver, Armani Brooks, and Kyrie Thomas. If I had to choose one of those guys, it's Kyrie Thomas. I mean, Kyrie Thomas, look at who he's doing it against. I mean, he did it against Portland. He's averaging 21.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I'd like for his rebounding numbers to be a little bit better, but, you know, he was literally signed a week ago. You know, the guys, look at his first 5 games with the Rockets, or excuse me, look at his first 3 games with the Rockets this season. He had 23 points against Milwaukee, shot 86% from the field. He had 27 points against Utah, and he had 18 points tonight against Portland. I mean, those are 3 teams that are going to be playoff teams. Utah and Milwaukee, there's a decent shot that those 2 teams end up meeting in the finals. When I say a decent, I mean, there's Utah has a really good shot at making the finals. I think Milwaukee has as good a shot as anybody in the Eastern Conference to make the finals. So his first 3 games, he's shown you double-digit scoring, good defensive effort. I don't know about good results on the defensive end, but he tries defensively. So if I had to choose one guy, I would definitely take Kyrie Thomas. Shane says, I hope Soman would much rather him. He fits the timeline with Christian Wood a lot better. Can't have another losing season, or we risk losing Christian Wood like we did with Harden. Well, first of all, Shane, great commentary tonight. I appreciate all your back and forth with me tonight. We didn't lose James Harden. We completely, for lack of a better term, shit the bed with James Harden, with the James Harden situation. He had 2 years left on his contract. You didn't need to trade him. You didn't lose James Harden. You very easily could have kept him on the roster and tried to work it out with him throughout the year. The front office panicked and then traded him to a preferred destination for a pretty crappy return. I mean, you get Victor Oladipo, you get 4 number ones and 4 draft swaps. You then flip Victor Oladipo to the Miami Heat for 2 guys in Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk, where Avery Bradley has a player or a team option for $10 million next year, where the Rockets will not pick that up, not breaking news there. And Kelly Olynyk, who's played his ass off being a Houston Rocket, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to re-sign him. So there is a legitimate chance. The Rockets have traded James Harden for four first-round picks from the Nets and four trade swaps. So you get no immediate NBA talent to have on your roster to help accelerate the rebuild. Not the best look. Jeremy says, me and Jeremy were saying on the last Rock Room that we feel numb for this season. Like, we feel nothing when we lose, and it's an odd feeling. Something I hope does not carry on. Yeah, it's... I haven't said this in a long time, that I can't wait for this season to be over. Because I can't wait for this season to be over. In the words of the GOAT, Jeremy Brenner, that, you know, the Rockets' real season starts when the regular season ends. And the last question we'll take for the night is, who's a better fit next to Wood, Mobley or Collins? Oh, it's a great question. I mean, gun to my head, for a couple reasons, I'm going to say Evan Mobley. Number one, Evan Mobley is more of a traditional center than Christian Wood is. John Collins is a more traditional power forward. So if you had John Collins, you're putting Christian Wood at not a natural position, in my opinion, being a five. So that's number one why I prefer Christian or Evan Mobley. The second reason, Ryan, being that John Collins is going to cost you a lot of money. You want John Collins this offseason, it's probably going to take a five-year deal. It's going to take north of $100 million to get John Collins. So while John Collins is obviously the better NBA player than Evan Mobley is right now, for those two immediate reasons, I would take Mobley over John Collins. So that's just me. Shane, thank you so much for the kind words. I'm glad that we have Rockets fans all over the country, including in Australia. That is going to do it for the Dream Take this evening. Thank you to everybody who's hung out with us here on the live show going into Tuesday morning. Once again, the Rockets lose. Jake, you have a good night as well, my brother. The Rockets lose 140 to 129. We now can announce the remaining schedule for the Dream Take for the last three games. Wednesday night, it is an even later start than tonight, 9:30. Jeremy Brenner will have the post-game show on Locker Room. We will be back here on Facebook with myself on Friday for the post-game versus the Clippers. And then Jeremy and I will be together on Locker Room after the season finale on Sunday against the Hawks. Ryan, we will be doing shows this offseason every week. I know our early plan is to do two shows a week. So more than likely one show via Facebook and one show via Locker Room. But Jeremy and I will get into that after the season is over. More than likely we'll take about a week off just to recoup and get our plan together for the offseason. This has been SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast, the number one podcast for The Dream Shake. Make sure to check out The Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN. While you're on Twitter, give The Dream Take a follow at The Dream Take and my personal Twitter at BSWPodcast_MB. Finally, make sure to follow my co-pilot, Mr. Jeremy Brenner, on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. NER. Until next time, Red Nation, go Rockets!